All right, so I realize this is not predominantly a data simulation group, but you're still going to be bombarded with cost functions between now and your coffee break. So apologies in advance. This work is actually an extension of work I had completed for my PhD recently at the University of Maryland. So I have to thank especially management here for supporting that research while I was still working here full time. It's also an extension of collaborative work I've done, especially with Jeff Whitaker in the original hybrid ENVAR development that we implemented last year. I'm going to give a brief overview of that first. So cost function number one. This is the thing we actually implemented last May. It's simply an extension of the 3DVAR cost function. And just a little bit of nomenclature first. So we're trying to solve for an analysis increment by comparing, of course, observations to the model state. Here, H is just the transform of the model state to the observations. Y are the observations. This part here is the same as the 3DVAR cost function that we had before. And all we did is we added this new thing here. And what we're trying to do is supplement the static estimate for the background error covariance with an ensemble-based estimate. So we do this by putting in a new control variable. And the analysis increment then becomes a linear combination of what we had before, the 3DVAR solution, plus a linear combination of a weight times an ensemble member at each grid point. And this is what that control variable thing looks like for a particular analysis at the end of the minimization. So this doesn't really have much rhyme or reason to it, but I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. This is just showing the spatial scale of the control variable, and we have this thing here, L, which is the background error, essentially, for the control variable. And what this is doing is applying localization to the ensemble-based covariances. Okay, so we implemented this new ensemble variational data simulation thing last year in 3D, and we have an 80-member ensemble common filter based on Jeff Whitaker's serial square root filter. And we weight our 80-member ensemble at 75% to the deterministic solution, which means we're also relying 25% on the old 3DVAR NMC method-based static B. This package included some data changes, and this is just a brief summary of the impact we saw with this implementation. This is shown a couple of years ago. Basically, every metric that we could find that was generally positive, very few negative impacts. So this is what our data simulation cycling looks like right now in operations. So this is what we had before the implementation. We start with an analysis to initialize the model. We run it forward in time. This is all currently at T574. We then run an analysis. The difference is now we incorporate an ensemble into the deterministic hybrid analysis, where the ensemble is run at half the resolution of the deterministic component. At the same time we do the hybrid analysis, we also have to update the ensemble perturbations. And we do that with the separate offline data simulation, the ensemble common filter. To maintain synergy between the two, we toss out the ensemble mean for the ENKF-based state estimate, and we replace it with an interpolated version of the hybrid high-resolution analysis. This makes sure that the two systems stay close to each other as we evolve forward in time. And this was the impact from our run-up to the implementation, just showing the usual 500 millibar anomaly correlation, northern and southern hemisphere, 0 up to 15 days, red is the hybrid, 3 is the 3DVAR, the hybrid is better. Okay, that's all good and well, but observations don't always occur at the analysis time, so what do? So now the fun begins. This is it. Another variation of the cost function, where in order to propagate the analysis increment within the window, we're going to plug in a linear version of our dynamic model to propagate from T0 to the observation time. Here we're taking the observations and we're binning them within our 6-hour window. You have some flexibility to choose 30 minutes, hourly, what have you. So this is the traditional 4DVAR cost function. This is essentially what the European Center runs. It's the same as the 3DVAR cost function, except we're using the tangent linear and adjoint to propagate the increment forward and backward within the minimization. This is, of course, very expensive because the analysis system is iterative. So for every iteration you do, you have to propagate the model forward and backward one time. This can be extended, just like in the 3D case, to include an ensemble-based estimate for the covariance to come up with a 4D var hybrid. This is actually what the Met Office is currently running for their operational system. So it's the same as before, where we're propagating the increment forward and backward using the tangent linear net joint. We have this control variable ensemble contribution to the solution, and we have a static contribution as well. And you, just as before, you have the flexibility to decide how to weight between the ensemble and the static contribution. This is nice, but one, it's expensive, and two, we don't have a tangent linear net joint. So we're going to go back to the 3D hybrid cost function and make one minor modification. We're going to take the ensemble perturbations, and instead of having them valid only at the analysis time, we're going to save them at the same observation bin time. And we're going to use the same weights we were solving for before. We're going to assume they're constant through the window, and we're going to use that to prescribe the 4D analysis increment. So here we're still binning the observations just as we were before, but instead of using a tangent linear net joint model, we're using 4D ensemble perturbations to prescribe the 4D increment. So here we're only solving for weights for each of the ensemble members at each grid point, and we're relying on the 4D covariances from the ensemble to prescribe the entire increment. And this can be extended one step further, where we add a static contribution to the increment, where this now has to be time invariant because we don't have access to the tangent linear net joint model. So this is essentially what we're shooting for because we don't have a tangent linear net joint model, and we don't want to rely 100% on the ensemble covariances. Okay, so from our perspective, or at least my perspective, this is truly our way forward. It uses a variational approach with which we've had a long history of development and a lot of success with, and it allows us to bring in ensemble covariances just like we did with the 3D. There's no need for maintenance and development of a tangent linear net joint model. Instead, uses the 4D ensemble perturbations, so this makes it modular and not model specific. We don't have to worry about developing the tangent linear net joint of the GFS model. Well, then what do we do for the NAM? What do we do if we get rid of the spectral model? We have to go through the process of developing a new tangent linear net joint model. Excuse me. Since it's purely an ensemble-based method, it's highly scalable. We can spread it out over thousands or tens of thousands or even more cores. So it aligns nicely with the expected technological and computing advances. Relative to 40 var, some estimates are that it's actually 10 times more efficient. I don't have 40 var, so I can't do a direct comparison with ours. And it compromises to gain the best aspects of a 40 var in an ensemble DA algorithm. Just a side note that Canada is aggressively pursuing replacing their well-tuned 40 var with a 40 ensemble var, and the Met Office is actually doing some testing of replacing their 40 var with a 40 ensemble var. Okay, so this is just a quick demonstration of what this thing actually does. So let's take a single observation at the beginning of a 6-hour window and try to solve for the solution using 4D var, ensemble var, and variance in between. What I'm plotting is the analysis increment at the middle of the window. So the increment is being plotted 3 hours after the observation is taken. The observation I'm taking is a temperature at 500 millibars. In the middle of the box is a black dot. I'm not sure you can see it. The upper left is the 4D var solution. So this uses the tangent linear to propagate the increment forward. The bottom left is hybrid 40 var, so it uses ensemble covariances at the beginning of the window, but still uses a tangent linear to propagate the increment forward. And the two on the right are the non-adjoint 4D ensemble var solutions, one where I weight 100% ensemble covariances, and one where I weighted at 75%. So of course, 3 hours after the observation is taken, the increment is propagated downstream according to the flow, and we see all four of them end up with a maximum cold increment in approximately the same place. We see that the ensemble-based 4D covariances can mimic very nicely what we get by integrating the dynamic model directly. This is looking at the same single observation case, but I'm instead plotting the increment at the beginning of the window. This is when the observation is taken, the middle of the window, the same plot as before, and at the end of the window. So this down here is 6 hours after the observation is taken. On the left is the hybrid 40 var. So again, I use the ensemble covariances to help prescribe the background here at the beginning of the window, but use a tangent linear net joint to propagate the increment. And on the right is the ensemble only, So there's no dynamic model in the minimization on the right side. And we see the two are basically qualitatively very similar and quantitatively very similar. So we're able to capture very nicely the evolution of the increment using only the 4D ensemble covariances. This, of course, again, is 10 times cheaper than this. So we've done some low-resolution testing of this at 2E254, so roughly half of the current operational resolution. For a 2 or 3 month experiment, I've run 3DVAR, something mimic our current operations, a hybrid 3DVAR, and on top of that, a hybrid 4D ensemble VAR. So again, looking at 500 millibar anomaly correlation, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, the green is 3D VAR, black is 3D hybrid, and red is 4D hybrid. If we just focus on the difference plots, we see that the green is below zero, meaning the 3D hybrid is better than the 3D VAR, consistent with our run-up to the implementation, and we see that the 4D hybrid is better than the 3D hybrid. Notice that the gap between the two is almost the same, so the increase in skill we got in going from 3D VAR to 3D hybrid is almost repeated when we go from 3D hybrid to 4D hybrid. So we're expecting almost a double increase in our skill relative to the 3D VAR when we go from 3D hybrid to 4D hybrid. This is just a time series showing the same thing. This is the mean score at 500 millibars at 5 days. Again, stratifying 3D VAR is the worst, 3D hybrid in the middle, and 4D hybrid is slightly better. Looking at time mean, pressure, geopotential height error differences, basically, if it's red, it means that that particular experiment is worse than the control. If it's green, it means the experiment is better than the control. In this case, the 3D hybrid is the control, so the upper right is showing that, the hybrid is better than the 3D VAR. And the lower left, where it's green, is showing that the 4D hybrid is slightly better than the 3D hybrid. The results here are not as impressive as looking at in the troposphere. Notice also there's a slight degradation between 250 millibars in the northern hemisphere. So just some preliminary results and comments. The 4D extension does seem to have a positive impact, at least on the usual metrics we use. Need to figure out why there's a slight degradation in the stratosphere. This could actually be an artifact of extra variability being injected into the analysis, so FitOps would help quantify this. It does converge a little bit slower, so we may have to think about how we want to configure the system. Do we need more iterations? Do we have to look into better preconditioning? As this experiment is configured, the 4D ensemble VAR is 40% more expensive than the 3D hybrid, but at higher resolution, this number actually goes up quite a bit. I think at our current operational resolution, it's something like 2x the cost of our 3D hybrid. We have lots of work to do in terms of initialization, investigating things like weak constrained digital filter. And I/O is going to become a big issue because we're now going from saving the ensemble states at the middle of the window to having to save them and move them around over, say, 7 time levels for a 6-hour window. So next steps, again, as I mentioned, we have to figure out how we want to do the outer loop in this case. I'm actually interested in pursuing the use of an outer loop like Moore has done in a traditional 4D VAR, where we take the analysis increment at T minus 3, rerun the full nonlinear model, and then do another iteration again. In a methodology proposed by Angela Renz to pursue a 4D IAU, because right now, although we prescribe a 4D analysis increment, we throw away everything other than the center of the window and restart the model from there. A 4D IAU would be a nice way to massage incremental tendency information through a forcing term directly into the model. The Canadians have already had some success with pursuing this. Let's see. As our hybrid is currently configured, we know that we have some issues with ensemble spread, and it's because of how we treat model error. Is Jeff giving a talk on stochastic physics? No. We're pursuing new ways for dealing with this, and I think this is actually going to improve the before the hybrid as well, because the characteristics of the spread growth within the 9-hour forecast is going to be more realistic or representative of the actual system. Right now, our ensemble spread is actually pretty flat because of the added inflation and other things that we do to account for modeling. Another issue we need to address is improving the static contribution to the 4D increment, because we're now simply just using a 3D model. So now we're just using, just as we were before, a 3D VAR-based static contribution to the solution. So if we can somehow inject some temporal information into the static contribution, this will not hinder as much the 4D increment that we are trying to prescribe. And I guess the plan is we're going to target for the next implementation, so sometime in FY15. This is complicated by the fact that we're also aggressively pursuing resolution increase with that, especially a vertical resolution increase. So there's a lot of work to be done, especially in the data simulation, if we double the vertical levels and move the model top. And that's all I have, so I'm happy to entertain any questions or comments.
One question.
That's okay, I'll just speak up. Will the RTMA take advantage of this?
They could. That'll be up to them. I don't know. I need to talk to Manuel.
The RTMA, it's not, it doesn't really have a model forecast associated with it, directly associated with it, so it's a bit more of a complicated thing to include from the RTMA. But it could be used through the RAP and the...
Well, it uses downscale RAP.
Downscale graph, and it's going to use a combination of downscale graph and downscale NAM, and that does have the possibility of impacting the RTMA.